Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Moe. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Woo! I'm Moe.
Really?
Yeah, today Ric Flair, he's 66.
Yeah, yeah. Not years old. Proof.
Well, anyways, it was his birthday today, though.
Oh.
So happy birthday, nature boy.
Yes. Styling and profiling down the birthday aisle.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always fun. Always fun. So what's going on, Mo?
Well, we got 1,000,000,001 things to get to.
Oh.
So, is there anything actually we have to actually get to news-wise? Because I have a bunch of other cool, fun stuff to get to.
Okay, let's talk about Randy Orton.
Who?
Randall Keith Orton.
They robbed him, and he was on Raw. Because he came back at the pay-per-view. Huge babyface.
Yes.
And they're taking advantage of that momentum.
By fucking it up. I don't understand. He's his baby face, and he says, I'm not going to do a 20-minute promo. Then he was involved in a 20-minute promo.
Yes, he's Randy Orton.
And then...
he just forgot his lines.
Yeah. Steph comes out, does this fucking bitch stuff. And then he says, I'll meet you in the back later. So he meets him in the back later. They have a match. They set up a tag match. So now Orton and Rollins are home slices.
Yeah. Homeboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm thinking, okay, RKO out of nowhere.
To
set up this turn.
Yeah.
Or that's already been set up, what, 4 months ago?
Which they
showed footage of.
Oh, yeah. He was mad. He had already turned babyface.
Yes.
He had already turned babyface before he left.
Mm-hmm.
And now he came back as a hot baby face.
Yes.
But I, keep going.
And so then he teams with him, with Seth Rollins.
Understandable. He's a very good wrestler. You'd want to have him on your side.
That's true. Making saves for him throughout the match.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like I said, home slices.
Home slices.
And
sliced bread number 9.
Then he goes for the draping DDT. Rollins blind tags himself in.
Yeah.
So Randy Orton, newly acquired kick-ass babyface, has a temper tantrum.
Yeah, like a little baby.
And walks away, like a cunt. And then...
Selfishly.
But he comes back after Rollins gets pinned, because he's a loser. Earlier in the promo, I should note, backstage, Stephanie told him to shut the fuck up.
Yes, she did.
Because Seth losing
to these guys isn't that bad. losing to Ryback on SmackDown, that's not so good.
Seth Rollins, by the way, jobber.
Apparently.
According to Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie's the star.
There's the McMahon, the Helmsley, the Authority. They're always going to be there, so you want to build your company around them.
Yes.
Because long-term, that's where the money is.
All the money.
All the money's there.
All the fucking money.
So that's what you're going to do.
My favorite line, actually, there was...
We've already dropped 5 F-bombs in this show, by the way.
Yeah. Well, fuck yeah, because this thing was retarded. It was fucking retarded.
Hey, we're
okay,
only,
let's
just
finish this fucking thing. 4 minutes and 27 seconds in.
4 minutes. 4 minutes in, if you don't include the show. 5 F-bombs. And trying 6 F-bombs, I think, now.
Well, fuck. So let's just finish this douchebag of a fucking anger. He comes back after he's been pinned.
I was going to try not to swear, but it's probably not worth it to try.
Rollins has been pinned.
Yeah,
so who? So then Rollins, the jobber.
Oh, I forget about him. Job. I forget about those territorial jobbers.
He's a job, exactly. He's a local enhancement talent.
With
a briefcase.
Yeah.
That's
his gimmick.
Yeah, he's...
works with IRS.
True. That's true. Maybe he can hang out with Bo Dallas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think, so then Randy Orton comes back.
Oh, who?
Randy Orton. And he gives one of the J&J jobbers RKO.
Mm-hmm. So and he's a heel, he's a babyface.
He's a babyface, because they're heels. Oh. And then he picks up Seth Rollins and just pats him on the back and walks and the
Seth
fuck
Rollins
away.
Is, but Seth Rollins is a heel, which makes him a heel.
Yeah.
So didn't he turn like 5 times during the course of this show alone?
I don't know. And you know what's more? I don't give a fuck. That's really what it boils down to. Randy Orton, I don't give a fuck.
Is that going to be the title of this show?
Could be the title of the show. I will say the one redeeming thing about this whole show-long storyline was when Stephanie and the rest of the Authority, except for Seth Rollins, come to the ring to confront Randy Orton. Yep. It's Stephanie, Hunter. Hunter's kind of in the back. That's his gimmick. He's not saying anything because he's pissed at Sting.
Oh, that's why?
He's brooding.
Okay.
But Stephanie
Isn't
comes out.
Isn't that Sting's role to brood?
Yeah. No, it's Gangrel.
Oh, my mistake.
But he comes out with Steph. So it's Stephanie, basically Kane and Big Show, right? Mm-hmm. And JBL goes, look at those two. Look at the size of those two giants in the ring. Mm-hmm. I assume he's talking about Stephanie's tits. Mm. So it was a great line. Ah. Great line.
Yeah,
may have been the highlight of the... No, it wasn't the highlight of the show.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because there's more.
Oh, okay, no, go ahead.
Afterwards, we had the... confound the fucking retardedness of everything.
Yeah.
You have Bo Dallas.
Yeah. Right?
You have Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Right? Add to the list the Ascension. Mm-hmm. As people that got brought to the main roster... And Vince has lost interest in.
Fandango.
Fandango, yeah, they kind of, I guess so. Yeah. I guess they have to say
you could say Bray Wyatt for a while, you could
well,
say
Well, no, I think, but Bray Wyatt, Bray Wyatt came in strong.
Yeah.
And guys like,
Well, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan is probably is a better example, right?
Yeah, but they came in relatively strong, right? Yeah. But Bray Wyatt was the main guy in there that came in... And they pushed, and the Shield, right? I mean, they pushed these guys, and Rusev.
Yeah.
They didn't.
It's like I say, we keep on talking about it. It seems like wins and losses don't matter. But Rusev, the Shield,
yeah.
Bray Wyatt is proof that
because
that it still does matter because these guys have been generally winning, and therefore,
well, nobody gave a fuck about Bray Wyatt, and then all of a sudden in 2015 on Raw, he started winning every match.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they give a fuck about
him. Exactly, exactly.
It's not how that works.
Reigns has always been protected, and like I say, Randy Orton's always been protected, and therefore, it has helped him get a reaction.
Yeah.
Wins and losses don't matter. Well, it's more the championships don't matter.
Oh, I misheard you. I heard that Orton has been protected. It helps him get an erection. Trojan Man.
He's going to meet her in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Lana.
Oh.
Backwards.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, though... Okay, so then the Ascension come up.
The who?
The Ascension.
I don't know that.
And they lose to the Primetime Players on a roll-up, who then the Ascension beats the fuck out of the Primetime Players immediately following this roll-up. Mm-hmm. So the Primetime Players are back. They didn't get an entrance. They just got to be in the ring.
The whole storyline, how they put them back together, was just...
retarded.
Yeah, just like...
no explanation.
No explanation. He just saved him. But more than that, no explanation. How about the fact that if Darren Young had been around for a long time looking for a partner, Derek Young just showed up. Like, there was nothing about... Yeah. Like that to me was even worse. It's like, first off, this guy's not around forever. When he is back, finally, he's just there with a partner.
A jobber.
Who's a jobber to lose to the Ascension. And then, I'm like, so the storyline of them getting back together makes no sense. But the storyline of why Darren Young was even there and in that position doesn't make any sense. It just happens.
I just like Titus O'Neil with the ultimate, like,
how many times?
If you look up Wikipedia right now,
if you
type in boo boo face, you should have Titus O'Neil's face. During that entrance of Raw, he wanted to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Darren Young was having a great time because he's back on television.
It's been a long time.
Titus O'Neil hasn't risen or fallen since Brian is in the same spot. So he doesn't need Darren Young. I mean, I hear they don't really like each other.
Yeah.
And so
we saw that.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah, we wanted. Yeah, we were there firsthand at the Rumble.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, when again we were at a panel for the
a piano,
and you can listen to it exclusively here. There's three panels you can listen
P-anals.
To. Why do you call it that?
Let's tell you. Spell
you have a story. You can tell your story first.
Okay. I'll get to tell well, story. My parents and the man they call B just had a Panama Canal cruise. They just returned yesterday, and so I asked my mom how it was. Then I asked her, so you got to see the Panama Canal? And she said yes. I said, you know how you spell canal, right? She went, I think so. I said, sea anal.
To your mom.
Yeah. And I laughed. She was confused, but I laughed.
Yeah. Yeah, and the producer just shook her head.
But that's the important thing. I laughed.
Yeah, that's what it's really all about. So when we were at the Royal Rumble, and there was the panel for WCW, we looked up at the back to see who was there.
Yeah.
And there was two guys at the back. We couldn't really tell what they were. But they were in the same row, in the back row, and then they were on the opposite sides.
Yeah.
And we looked, and it was Titus O'Neil and Darren Young.
Yeah.
And we were just like... And I remember we speculated at the time. You can go back and listen to it. It's like, man, I wonder if these two don't really like each other. Is this a Rocky Johnson, Tony Atlas type deal where the partners put together by the company, but they just don't actually like each other in the least?
That's racist.
I knew you were going to say something stupid like that. I can just see it in your face. You wanted to get in as soon as I said
you're thinking that. Of Darren Young.
Which is
ironic that he was in the back. But these guys were not sitting with each other. Like they could not be farther apart.
No, they couldn't.
And this was not like a big. This was like maybe a 4-row by 20-row section that they were sitting in.
They wanted to be in the back too, because they didn't want anybody to see that there and get involved with them and ask them for autographs or whatever. But they wanted to attend, but they didn't obviously want to be around each other.
Yeah.
And even back then, so we were like, "There's something about between this." And so now you've heard this,
yeah,
that they don't get along. And I think we knew that a while ago, at least ourselves and our loyal listeners who were listening to us 2 years ago. There,
yes,
is it 2 years ago?
That was 2 effing years ago.
Yeah,
effing.
That's better.
So the Ascension. So the Ascension then do an inset promo. Saying that the Bushwhackers are going into the Hall of Fame, and that they're better than them.
Broken by an obscure New Zealand.
Then, like an hour and a half later, Michael Cole goes, tune in after the commercial to find out who's going into the Hall of Fame next. It's fucking Bushwhackers. I was fucking listening.
Nobody else was.
Like, they obviously either... They're one of three things. They are either deaf, dumb, or stupid.
They can only be one of those things?
One of the three things.
Okay, they can't be all three things?
They can't be all three things.
Are you sure? Because I see evidence they're all three.
That's true. That's true.
They're deaf, dumb, and stupid.
Yeah. They're cocksuckers is what they are. Go to town. Find out.
Yeah, I think we should invest in tout.
We should. Let's pick it up.
It's going to get some money.
It's booming.
Booming.
It's a booming industry. But I think... that's the fucking cocksucking motherfucking stupid part of the show.
So that was the Miz part of the show.
Yeah. Let's talk about the good part of the show.
Oh.
The Bushwhackers.
Don't I get to weigh in on any of this stuff? I haven't actually given my opinion about any of this stuff. Okay, keep going. It's all right. It's not like I watched Raw. I never do.
I know. Besides, we don't have enough reinforcement for you to weigh in on anything.
We're on the first. No, there's a basement. I should be careful.
Yeah.
Concrete. House like this could be.
Concrete gorilla.
Yeah.
But the Bushwhackers are going into the Hall of Fame.
I'm glad. You know what? That made you happy. It made me happy. You're happy because you're going to see the Bushwhackers. I'm happy because it's an opportunity to use the washroom during the Hall of Fame.
One of the greatest tag teams in the history of the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, no, I know. And as soon as they went in, I thought, that's so deserving. You know, much more so than the Bulldogs or the Freebirds or Demolition or, you know, any of these teams.
Rock
the
Midnight and Roll Express.
Midnight Express. Yeah, any of these, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, these teams.
The Hart Foundation.
Yes, the Hart Foundation. Yeah, these teams don't deserve it nearly as much.
The Dudley Boys.
The Dudley Boys. Yeah, exactly.
The Steiner Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very fair.
Yes.
Mid-card comedy. Not even mid-card. Lower opening act. Lower card comedy act.
Yeah, they never... They never...
I can't even remember them getting a title shot. Maybe on a Saturday Night's Main Event.
Maybe. But as far as I remember, they came in, immediately feuded with the Russo brothers.
That was right, yeah.
The Fabulous Russo brothers. And then, I remember them feuding with the Beverly brothers. They just they're cousins, and I think they hated brothers. Hmm. They feuded with the Heavenly Bodies.
Yes, they did, yeah.
They feuded with Well Done.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Timothy Well and Stephen Dunn.
Yeah.
They're dead.
Both of them?
Yeah. Rex King and Steve Dahl. Mm-hmm. Steve Dahl in the ring against the... I mentioned the Beverly Brothers in Well Done. The Mauler, Mike Enos, was fighting Stephen Dunn, Steve Dahl, on Nitro with Scott Hall come in and said, "You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here."
That's true.
So, but anyway, the Bushwhackers never... Yeah, they never got... I don't remember them ever getting a title shot. I think Darren Young, probably the guy to induct them. Since they used to, against the Beverly Brothers, start the faggot chant with the crowd. So I think that would be a good role there.
Yeah, but that is, yeah, exactly. They did used to do that, so that's a wonderful thing, too.
Yeah, they're good people. They're but good, China good can't people. Get in the Hall of Fame.
But China can't get in the Hall of Fame, yeah, exactly.
Straight porn.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was gay porn, then.
That's the Bushwhackers. And they're gonna come out, they're going to do their gimmick for a few seconds, that'll be entertaining, then they'll go into being themselves, actual selves, and talk, and that won't be so entertaining.
Licking and whacking their way to the Hall of Fame. One of the...
I was whacking last night, too.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Your mother was doing the licking.
I see. See anal. But I think...
She asked me to explain that to her.
Bushwhacker Butch.
I'll be happy to.
Bushwhacker Butch whacked his way in and whacked his way out of the Royal Rumble.
That's probably, seriously the most memorable spot of their WWE run.
Yes.
And other than that, they were a good hardcore, they weren't a kid-friendly team. They were, a hardcore team as the Kiwis or the Sheep Herders.
Do you think John Laurinaitis wouldn't induct him?
Why?
Johnny Ace was their manager, the Sheep Herders.
Was he?
Yeah, he was their flag waver, New Zealand flag waver guy.
I don't remember that at all, but yeah who knows? But
they have Howard Finkel, I guess, was involved with them. Maybe Jameson?
Nope.
That would be fantastic.
It would be great. It won't happen.
Jameson would be great. I'm going to start an online petition.
You know who should induct him as one of the members of the Highlanders? They were like them, except for in the 2000s.
That's true. Well, they can't, though, because the Highlanders are going to be at the TNA show.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, remember that was the thing during Mania weekend, and one of the Highlanders went to TNA?
Oh, yes.
And then they showed him on camera.
A few years ago, yeah.
And that's what got him in trouble, and then they got fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were going places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Harvey Whippleman will probably be the guy to fucking induct him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the Bushwhackers.
Also a good friend of Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, Harvey Whippleman.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm loving the Bushwhackers. It's just the we can do this.
They'll do that. They're only going to do it for 10 seconds.
No, but I'll do it. I'll do it the whole time.
Yes, you will. I'll be in the bathroom.
I'll look at you and you'll just be, you'll come back and you'll be like, "Okay, what did I miss?" And I'll be like, "Well, you know something, Cousin Mo."
I was never into them. I never liked them.
Yay, whoa.
And they never did a thing for me. I never enjoyed them. I never anything. I liked them a little bit in Stampede Wrestling. That was the Kiwis.
The Kiwis,
yeah. But that was it. Nothing for me.
But, you know, it's funny, in that induction video, they only mentioned the Bushwhackers, but then they mentioned that they were 26-time tag team champions.
Yeah. No, not there they weren't.
No.
Yeah.
Amazing to think, though, that they were, when you think about the Bushwhackers... they started wrestling as a team in 1965.
Holy shit, seriously?
Yeah. And they came to WWE.
Undertaker was only 30 then.
I know. They came to WWE in 1989?
Yeah.
88, 89?
Yeah.
So, like, they've been teaming for almost 30 years.
So they're... Yeah,
and they were in the dark match of WrestleMania 10.
And they're like 70, and it wasn't really that long ago the last time they were even in the ring. Like, they were doing some indie spots.
Yeah, that's
within,
right.
Even within that's the last right. few years. So.
But then didn't one of them, didn't, like, Butch or something, get, like, need a liver transplant or a kidney transplant?
Maybe. I think it was Butch. I think he's also the one who was doing some booking for... Might even have been like an ROH or something like that at some point.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And he was. He was really good, apparently.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. But, yeah. Hmm. Well, either way.
Well, I mean, fuck, if you started wrestling in 1965.
Yeah, they must be. So they had already been wrestling for 24 years by the time they got to the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time they showed up, they were, mid-40s? Minimum. If they started when they were like early 20s, right?
Yeah, so when they wrestled at WrestleMania 10 in the dark match,
yeah.
They were both in their 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they wouldn't want Samoa Joe because he's too old.
Well, he's fat.
Oh.
That's why you can't get in.
But I'm a Samoan. For a Samoan, he's all right.
It's true. But no, are you kidding? A Samoan looks like The Rock or Roman Reigns. That's what a Samoan looks like.
Not like Yokozuna?
Not like Yokozuna. Not like Umaga. Mm-hmm. Not like Sika or Afa. Mm-hmm. Looks like Jimmy Snuka.
Tonga.
Or Sibiaki. Or Haku. Or the Usos.
Or the Usos fit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was
wrong. I want you to remember at one point in time, if you look at Rikishi when he was very young.
Yes.
He looked like the Usos.
Yes.
And I looked at him at the end.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember looking at Make a Difference Fatu.
Yeah.
On these old Raws, and I'm like, that guy's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at him as the smallest SWAT team in WCW.
Yeah. Very, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Skinny.
Skinny.
Fuck. Yeah, that was Raw. Fuck you, WWE. Fuck you.
Okay, I'll just say this about the Randy Orton thing. And, yeah.
Can I say one more thing about the Randy Orton thing?
What?
Fuck you, WWE. Fuck you.
Okay, now can I?
Yes.
Okay. What I want to say
fuck
is...
Fuck you, WWE. Fuck you.
But, I mean, the guy comes in, he's a babyface, and the crowd is taking to it. And I understand that you're trying to build the Mania match, and you don't know how to fill the time. But, how many times in your life have you ever had a Raw the month after the pay-per-view? Since they started doing, the monthly pay-per-views in, 97?
96?
No, 95.
Yeah.
How many times has the Raw the night after that pre-Mania pay-per-view... made you care this little about the WrestleMania, like, as far as the booking, and, like, how many times does the booking look this bad? Like, I mean, like, it's frightening. I mean, it's frightening. And, we're sitting there going, okay, for the longest time, we were sitting there going, hey, it's all right, December's going to suck, November's going to suck, they get to the Royal Rumble season, it'll be good.
Yeah.
They got to the Royal Rumble season, not that good, you know, a little bit better during the actual Royal Rumble area, but then they got past the Royal Rumble, and it tumbled, and they were like, okay, that's fine. Fastlane is no longer the Elimination Chamber. Yeah. You just got to get past Fastlane. You and I were saying the night of Fastlane, if you go back to our show, we're so glad it's out of the way. Now they can really start building the Mania match. They really start building the cards. They really start building the anticipation. Now it's going to get good. And then they come out with that Raw and that booking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh.
You know what it is? It's like, fuck you, WWE.
Like, and the thing about the Randy Orton is, how hard would it have been to just have him come out there, say... Seth Rollins, I'm gonna destroy you.
Fuck you, Seth Rollins. That's what he should say.
Basically, and him try and get to Seth Rollins, and you have J&J Security and the Big Show and Kane all in the way, and the whole storyline is he's hiding behind them and running away, and Randy Orton just needs to lay these guys out, destroy them, to the stretcher them out to the point that he gets to them to WrestleMania.
Yes, it's called Randy Orton against Seth Rollins' new Nexus.
It's fine.
It's what they did with CM Punk. It worked.
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. He just needs to get rid of... These guys are going to protect him. And he's just going to go through... It's like, you're going to protect him? Fine. I'll just go through it right through you. Yeah. Like a baby face. And he just... Until the point where they're gone and there's nobody left to protect him.
Yep.
And, you know, and then he does something to leverage the match.
But, I mean,
at Mania. And that's it. It's very simple booking. It takes me 2 seconds. And that's what's
frustrating. Well, all he's got to do is grab... All he's got to do is grab Stephanie on a draping DDT.
Never right? do that. He would never do that.
But Hunter would give him the match.
Oh, that's true.
And then he'd do it anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Hunter would give him the match. But then Hunter would have to come into his house.
That's true.
And, you know.
In his house.
And, you know.
We're in your house tonight.
And they would have to give him a new actress to play a wife that he no longer has.
In your house.
Yeah.
But no, I think this is, you know what it is that it was so easy.
Yeah.
It was so easy, because they did it 4 fucking months ago.
Yeah.
But they've had to sports entertainment it.
Yeah, the only thing I have, the only way that this makes sense to me, is if you decide that he's going to be that tweener for a while here, and you're not even going to have that Mania match, because the thing is, you have to keep in mind, is the exact same storyline exists for Sheamus. In that he was curb stomped by Seth Rollins and has been out for months.
Yes.
The only thing is that the anticipation, because he wasn't part of his team and didn't have his back turned on as much, isn't as hot. But the only thing I could think is that they're going to do the Sheamus as a babyface against Randy Orton. Like, that's the only way it makes any sense to me at all. Like, you know, and save the Orton, or sorry, against the Rollins, and save the Orton thing for later. Because it's the same storyline. And the thing is, they expect people to have forgotten that storyline. They don't give people enough credit. They constantly don't, which is one of the reasons why, you know, Daniel Bryan gets the cheers and they go with Reigns instead.
In no cocksucking motherfucking way does any of this ever make sense.
No.
None of it.
No.
Is
none of it does.
Ever going to make sense.
None of it does. And again, I will, I'm going to enjoy WrestleMania. We're going. The Hall of Fame will be great. The Raw the next night will be great. Fan access, the convention that's down there, that'll all be great. And Mania will be something that we do.
Oh, yeah. Mania?
Yeah.
It'll be a spectacle.
Yeah. It'll be something to just say, yeah, we went to a WrestleMania, and, you know, modern one. Like, that's about it.
That's true. Because
we were at WrestleMania 3. Yeah, pretty much at this point. So, and we will, I'm sure, talk some more about Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns and other. They won't hate Roman Reigns. They're going to end up resenting him, which is worse.
Should we talk about...
And we will get, but not today. We're going to move on.
Should we talk about AJ and Step on Me?
Yeah. You want me to talk about it? Because you don't know what it's about?
I know a little bit about it.
Well, what do you know?
I know that it all started from the sister of former WCW World Heavyweight Champion David Arquette.
Well, it did to some degree, yeah.
Yeah, see? So, just like... So, this didn't follow into the Hunter storyline. This is all WCW's fault.
Oh, boy. I don't even want to... Like, to me, when you do that storyline that they're doing, that makes... Sting the heel, because WWF and WWE was the baby faced against WCW. How's historically sort of presented? So
yeah, but nobody even gives a fuck about that anymore because it was 15 years ago.
No, I know, but yeah, you're right.
So what? Step on Me said, "Thank you, Patty Arquette, for having the courage to fight for women's rights on such a grand platform."
Yeah, at the Oscars. Because she said that the women need equal time, equal pay.
Yes.
Which is she's right about.
And then AJ, well, let's not get crazy.
Wow.
And then AJ said, "Your female wrestlers have a record of selling merchandise and have starred in the highest rated segments of the show at times, and yet receive a fraction of the wages and screen time of the majority of the male roles."
And to point that out more, there was one women's match on the show. It was a tag team match, and there's not even an exaggeration here. 30 seconds was the bell-to-bell ring time of the match between Emma and Paige and the Bellas.
Right. Well, that's a good thing, though, right?
Fuck, keep going.
Well, if you give Emma any more time, she'll steal the show.
Keep going.
Okay. Is there more?
Yeah.
What else is there?
Oh, well, what was the last thing you said?
I just said that Stephanie, or what's her fuck, said AJ Lee said that the women and WWE divas don't get paid as much as the men. So what the fuck?
Yeah, okay. And what about Stephanie's... response.
What did you say? Thank you, I appreciate your opinion.
Yeah. And then Vince McMahon also came out there and said something along the lines of, we're listening, keep watching.
We hear you, keep watching.
Yeah, so...
Hashtag give divas a chance.
Hashtag give divas a chance, which was trending for over 24 hours or something like that, about 24 hours. Again, it's very, very true.
Well, it's part of what Hunter's trying to... I mean, you listen to Hunter on the conference call that we were a part of on here, and we got the audio up about his vision of the women's division, or his dream of the women's division, is what we see at NXT.
Yeah.
It is more time, more athleticism, more matches. He pointed
out... Is that actually his vision, or is that just... No, we don't know that. No, is he just saying... I still don't know that he's not just saying that. But Vince McMahon doesn't believe that.
He pointed out Ronda Rousey. If he didn't think that, okay, the reason that I believe him...
I'm just saying that he's a very political guy. Yeah, he'll say what he thinks the fans want to hear.
But he's proving it. Natalya and Charlotte... You know, Charlotte and Bayley.
Yeah.
You know, the four.
I am skeptical.
The proof is
NXT.
In the pudding, and in NXT they put the women on. He said that NXT says he wants to do this, and they're doing it. So I fully believe him there. If he was saying one thing and doing another, then yeah, call him a hypocrite all day long. But he's backing it up with.
I do need to see it on the main roster to, and I just have trouble believing.
But
I have trouble believing
Hunter isn't the main roster yet.
No, and I have trouble believing though Hunter. Like I just, because I, you know, I've seen him be a liar so many times. That said, you're right. So he is, at least that is what we're presented to there. But it doesn't matter. Charlotte, as great as she is, and it looks like there's a good chance she's going to come up for WrestleMania. There's also still Vince McMahon doesn't think that she looks like what he wants one of his divas to look like.
Right.
And, you know.
Cloudy?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Did you hear what CM Punk said about this?
No.
Yeah, someone was tweeted CM Punk and said, your wife's pretty rad. And Punk tweeted back, yes, I am aware. I should totally marry her.
Yeah, good. AJ said, like I said, in the Countdown show, when they're talking about these outrageous matches, and they're talking about the bra and panties matches, and you know, she's like, well, I'm glad we're not doing that anymore, yeah, because we're worth more than that. And
that's
that was
right.
Months ago she said that. And then she said this. I've never been a big AJ fan. I found her kind of annoying. I don't find her attractive.
Remember we saw her on Live there?
Yeah. But you know what? I like what she said there, and I like what she did here. That, you know what? That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, AJ.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, Roman Reigns did not fail a steroid test.
Okay, good.
And so that's not the reason that Brock Lesnar was on.
Yeah, it's on something to do with the business. They wanted to extend his contract probably, and he walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's just see. Anything else?
Samoa Joe is going to ROH. He'll be at the pay-per-view this weekend. The pay-per-view is going to be great because it's going to have the Young Bucks versus the Red Dragon. And I understand that's going to be Lucha Libre rules because... that'll be very different than the average Young Bucks match where the tag team, they all stay on the aprons through the whole thing.
Yes.
But it will be great. It will be great. Samoa Joe there. There's going to be some great matches. Everybody should watch it. I can't wait to watch it. Are we going to watch it?
What? I don't know. I forgot to ask.
The 13th anniversary? Go ask right now.
No, we can't.
Oh.
We can't. I do know that now.
Yeah? How come?
See anal. Mm-hmm. I actually have to go to my parents' house because they're back now.
Wow. Do it on a Saturday.
I can. I'm doing something else on Saturday.
Well, I'm going to watch it.
I know you are.
It'll be a great show.
I'll watch it probably on Monday on your pass.
You will, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I watch it on pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view.
Right. Well, then I'll just download it.
Yeah. You're a prick.
WrestleMania looks like Lesnar, Roman, Sting, Hunter, Rusev, Cena, Undertaker, Wyatt, Orton, and Seth Rollins. Multiple person intercontinental title. Kid and Cesaro and Usos.
Mention one of the names in that IC title is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's Bad News Barrett, Dean Ambrose, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth.
So far.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
A bitch match.
A woman's match.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
And the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, right? Which we only know, what, four people in it now? Miz, Mizdow, Ryback, and Axel.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get to some of the questions or something else here. Like I say, the ROH, we'd run it down more if we were going to watch it, but I just really, I'm not kidding. It's going to be a great show. Alberto Del Patron versus Jay Lethal will be just friggin' awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
The Bushwhackers, by the way, Luke Williams 68, Butch Miller 70.
There you go. Okay, so let's do the questions.
Okay.
Okay, so we get a lot of questions. A lot of people email addie@wetalkwrestling.com.
That's very true.
We also get a lot of Twitter questions, of course. You know, that's @wetalkwrestling on Twitter. People leave comments in the Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/wetalkwrestling.
Facebook.com/wetalkwrestling.
Of course, you know, I show on our website. So these kind of build up. We get a ton of them. And usually, historically, we grab one or two that we think will be funny, and we kind of go into them in depth. And we thought we'd try something different, because we've just been getting, like, more than ever. And, I mean, we've gotten, over the last 3 weeks, 80 questions. And I've taken, like, about 25. I think it's 25. Might be one or two more than that, but maybe one less. I don't know. But about, like, just a ton of questions here.
Good call.
And we're going to try something different. We're just going to try to do quick hits, and some of these at least as quick as we can, because okay. Some of them will be a little more.
Very quickly, can I just quickly say the other members going into the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame this year, as we will be going.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got right now we've got the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Rikishi.
Yeah. Kevin Nash is going to go in.
Bushwhackers.
Kevin Nash. Yeah.
Ray the Crippler Stevens.
Ray Cove Stevens.
And Medusa.
Yeah, Medusa's interesting. We'll get there.
I understand she's planning on dropping the Hall of Fame ring into the garbage.
Yeah, will do. So, all right. So these are the questions. We're going to try and do them quick hits. There's a bunch of them. We'll see how this goes and see if this format works better. So I'll just ask them and you can respond. And if you say something wrong or don't know or something, I'll fix it because you're a dummy.
I'm going to know.
And I want to say everything allegedly at a time here. Did Sid Vicious use steroids?
Yes. Allegedly. These are quick hits, right?
Yes.
So yes.
I don't know that he was ever. I don't know that there's any actual evidence except for that when they started doing steroid testing, that was one of the times he decided to go home because he was worried about getting popped allegedly. So, back when they started doing steroid testing
in the early 90s. He did a lot of steroids.
Yeah, it certainly appeared that way. What's with the Matt Classic gimmick? What is it? Who is it? I don't get it.
Well, wasn't it Matt Classic was Colt Cabana?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was Wrestling Society X.
Yes.
Which was this kind of Lucha Underground type show that was on MTV2. And they were trying to create their own gimmicks. And one of them was that there was a wrestler who was actually from the 1940s.
Yes.
Who had transported back here and used all these old school training and wrestling techniques. Kind of like the vaudevillains now to some degree. But he had this mask on. And it was actually Colt Cabana.
Yes.
And I guess I understand that he's using it as some independence or something like that right now. Or overseas as a part of a gag. So that's probably why that was axed.
Axed.
What WrestleMania was Pam Anderson at?
11.
What was her role and was it any good?
Her role was the winner of the Royal Rumble got to bang Pamela Anderson.
I don't think that was actually. I think that she just accompanied them to the ring.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Same thing.
Yeah.
And so Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble, so it was supposed to be Pam Anderson and the Heartbreak Kid, and then the story at WrestleMania 11 was that Shawn Michaels was so conceited that Pamela Anderson dumped him and didn't want to go to the ring with him. And then I believe Jenny McCarthy also there to go down with Diesel. And then it was Diesel and Pam Anderson and Jenny McCarthy all at the end.
And one of the things was backstage during WrestleMania and some of their sports entertainment moments was a lot of hints that she was changing and that she was, you know, in the bathtub.
Yes.
And all this stuff. And no, it wasn't any good.
That's right. No.
Yeah. What's the controversy between HBK and Hulk?
Oh, well, it was just that they, I mean, both of them wanted to win.
Their SummerSlam match, originally, Shawn Michaels was booked to win. Hulk Hogan had agreed. And then literally minutes before they were going out, Hulk Hogan changed it on him. Or refused to do it because the idea was they would do, HBK would win, and then Hulk would win. And then they would come back for a third match and then decided to win. Hulk was supposed to win. But anyways, he was worried that if HBK won, they would stab him in the back.
Right.
And he would never get his win back.
Right. So instead Hogan stabbed him in the back.
Yeah. And Shawn responded by essentially mocking the whole concept of the match. Just cartoonish selling and bumping. And it was really... really a joke, and he was destroying the match, you know. Yeah. And some people still enjoyed it because Shawn's so entertaining, but that's essentially what he did. So also this person asked, who was the bigger politician? Now, you had a blog, Bigger Douche, Shawn and Hulk.
Right.
Which is a different thing, but bigger politician, that's definitely Hulk. Shawn was more of an asshole, not as much of a politician.
Shawn didn't have to politic.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is that the clique just, there was it, there was no one. I mean, it was Brett's group and Shawn's group, and there wasn't really much politicking, where Hogan, more so in WCW, was, because in WWF he was the man,
yeah.
Right? So, in WCW though, he politicked the fuck out of things.
Yeah, exactly, he really did. Where and when did the Cena Wins We Riot thing start?
That was at,
also why
it was at no at One Night Stand 2.
Yeah, 2006, I think that was
six. Yeah, yeah, with Rob Van Dam against John Cena for the title. And it was just, why did it start? Because people hated Cena.
Yeah,
or hate Cena,
and everybody knew that that was the night for RVD to win it, and nobody trusted that he was going to, and they were going to do the right thing. So that was kind of the mentality of the crowd, and that's where that kind of came. And it's just never completely gone away.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. It was really funny.
That's true. Did you hear who Dave Bautista is going to be playing in the new Highlander movie?
Yeah, the bad guy.
Hey, you know what his name is?
Kurgan?
The Kurgan.
Yeah.
Bautista is Kurgan.
Yeah.
That's excellent. They couldn't get Kurgan to play Kurgan.
Actually, they probably could have.
But... I know.
Memories of Bill Apner, since Bill Apner is not dead, and I guess it doesn't matter, but I imagine he mean their magazines, the Apner mags, that's Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and what else was there? There was Pro Wrestling
Illustrated. There was The Wrestler,
okay.
Yeah.
And a few others.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few of them. So, any memories of those?
Not really. I mean, the one thing I liked about WWF Magazine is that there was a lot of pictures, so you didn't have to read a lot.
That is good for you.
And you had like the little like Ask the Brain and the rumors section.
It was
and
fun,
they were small, right? Yeah. But the After Mag was like this long, like it seemed like a chore to read.
There was a few things I would like. They would do some fantasy booking occasionally. That could be fun. I would like the rankings, and because especially when they had the different territories and you know, they had the most popular, most hated, and all that stuff. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like that. Yeah,
yeah, I like that. The PWI awards themselves for a while were kind of cool.
Yeah, the 500.
Yeah, 500. Yeah, exactly. What else was there? There was another thing that I enjoyed.
No, that's it.
Okay. All right.
These are quick hits. Come on now.
I know. Why does Sting have a baseball bat?
To fight the NWO.
That's exactly it. He was one man, and he was taking on a group of, like, what was it, like 15 or something like that?
Maybe there were 47 guys when it started.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, that was it. He came down to the ring with that equalizer.
Yeah.
And it's just became part of his gimmick ever since.
Yeah.
Was there a wrestler named Dirty Rhodes, and was it Dusty?
Dirty Rhodes?
There was a wrestler named Dirty Rhodes. It was not Dusty Rhodes. It was a guy who kind of looked like him, who was never that big a star, but he would wrestle small territories. and say that he was related to him, and
right.
used to go around. Yeah, so it's basically a guy making money off of Dusty.
It wasn't Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes?
No.
Well, you know who that was?
No.
That was Ric Flair. That's what Ric Flair wanted to be called.
Oh, that's right.
He was really fat and stuff. He wanted to be...
This was, I think, like early 80s.
I'm talking
Dirty Rhodes.
Dirty Rhodes. Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes was probably early 70s.
Dirty Rhodes. Is Bobby Eaton in the Hall of Fame?
Which Hall of Fame?
Well, that's kind of it. He is in the
Observer Hall of Fame.
I'm pretty sure they're in the Cactus Alley.
Cauliflower
Alley. Sorry, when I say Cactus Alley?
Jesus. Yeah. It's in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of cactuses there.
I'm pretty sure he's in the Cauliflower Alley also, and those two are two... Many of the, many people, those are like the legit Hall of Fames, and they should be. They don't have the Bushwhackers, but they probably should be. But the
Bushwhackers, yes.
but no, he is not in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'd say his odds of getting into the WWE Hall of Fame are somewhere
between around, slim and none.
I'd say 20%. Yeah. Like, as great as he was, and as, you know, I mean, the fact is that you're not actually going to call it that. Call it question and answer period. Fuck you, WWE. Fuck you is what we're currently typing as the show title. He's doing it as we're on the air because he's a professional.
Yeah.
Paying attention to what he's doing.
What?
So he's essentially Cornette would go in with the, or they would go in with Cornette.
Yeah.
Cornette had a career outside of that. Still worthy of going in, you know. The Midnight Express, and there's a few different, you know, permeations of that team. The greatest one probably was, though, I think...
The original.
Yeah, well, no.
Condrey Neaton?
That was the second one.
Was Condrey Neaton?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right, because it was...
And that's probably the best one, Condrey Neaton. And, you know, that's who he would go in with is... that's who we would go. What's that?
What about Stan Lane and Bobby Eaton?
Yeah, and that was the second best one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that was the last one, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as long as Cornette's not going in, and Cornette has this really contentious relationship with the WWE.
Does he still think?
Yeah, because he speaks his mind.
Yeah,
he does. He does on MLW all the time.
Oh, nobody hears it, though. Or it's just old news, I guess, right?
It's old news is a thing. Yeah. But, yeah, he doesn't have a relationship where he's about to go in. He has said if he was to go in with the Midnight Express, he would do it for their sake, really, is what he would do. But, I don't really see him, patching it up with them enough. I mean, he's not even included in the list of 10 greatest managers or whatever that they do.
No, right? They have old footage that they still use of Jim Cornette.
They do have old footage. Well, because he's
like good interviews, talker.
Yeah,
right?
Good talker.
But
right?
Yeah, interviews.
So, anyways, without him, I don't think that the Midnight Express and Bobby Eaton goes in. Unfortunately, well deserving though. Was Hulk Hogan selfish?
Well, let me answer that question with a question.
Okay, it's a question and answer period. So,
is a duck's ass watertight?
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
Does a one-legged duck swim in a circle?
That's math.
Is a Pope Catholic?
I assume. I'm not religious.
Is a Kennedy's gun shy?
Too soon!
Is Hulk Hogan selfish? What is this? To paraphrase Steve Austin, the answer isn't just yeah, it's a oh fuck yeah.
You heard the story when we were talking about him with HBK earlier.
Yes. I mean, it's a warrior. He did it to Sting. I mean,
the one with Sting where he didn't lose a Starrcade, you know, he had that he basically backstabbed him with the referee in a shoot behind scenes and stuff like that. Like the thing is, to some degree, when it's early on in this politicking, I don't mind that. You're a businessman, you're protecting your spot. But there comes a point where it's like, you got to do the best thing for the business. And that was where, yeah, he was selfish.
Yes.
And he never gave back enough. He never put enough people over. Yeah, definitely. Here's a really good one. And, I mean, I don't personally know the answer to this, but I'm hoping you'll be able to answer it.
Okay.
Legitimate question asked of us.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Is Undertaker immortal?
Yes.
No, only Hulk Hogan is.
No, the Undertaker's... Well, the Undertaker's, if he's dead, he's a zombie.
Yeah, that so, doesn't make him immortal.
It does, because he's going to be around forever. He's like the new Coke.
Okay.
He'll be around forever.
So the answer to the question, is the Undertaker immortal, is yes.
Yes, the Undertaker is immortal. You stupid fuck that answered that question, or asked that question.
Yeah, so...
And you, the stupid fuck who answered the question.
But somebody actually asked that.
I know. Stupid fuck.
Was HBK ever going to go to the WCW?
See, that's not a stupid question, because, you know, he never was going to. He never was going to, because he was under contract, and he was never going to be allowed.
Yeah.
Did he want to? Yeah.
Did he threaten to? Constantly.
Oh, all the time.
Back in his really, at his highest diva period, his highest crybaby, selfish period there, when he was just a mess on drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so difficult to work with.
So most of his career.
He was, well, especially when he was like the main, the icon, the main event, the... he really...
The headline. The showstopper.
Right
the
there.
The main event. The icon of the World Wrestling Federation. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
And
Stumpy. He goes by Triple H now.
So, yeah. Was he ever going to go to the WCW? No. But, I mean, I don't know if there was ever a point where he was like... It's like Bret Hart many years before he went, back when, just about the time he was getting his first IC belt. I think there was a point where they wanted him. I already used that one.
I know, it's for us.
Oh, is it?
I typed in Triple H small penis, just because that's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, because I created that meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple H small penis, and it's us. That's fucking awesome. Let's use one of those Bret Hart cartoons that I sent you. No, or the Bushwhackers. I'm fine with that.
Excellent. Find a really good picture.
Show picture.
Yeah. I like this one.
But yeah, I mean, Shawn Michaels, like Bret Hart, they wanted to get him many years, and or at least they had negotiations back to, you know, when he was just about the time we got his first IC belt. And, and you know, Vince kind of felt betrayed even at the time. He basically, he wasn't considering it heavily. He knew they were going to put him in a better place in the card, and he didn't believe at the time he was ever going to get near the top. I'm not sure if that type of thing ever existed for Sean. Maybe. I'm not sure if it's in one of his books, or I don't remember in any of the documentaries I've seen on him. So.
No, I've never. It's kind of... Well, it seemed... Because now, it's it would be him considering going to the loser.
Right? Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're not going to. The revisionist history isn't going to be there. Right?
No, that's true.
So, they won't.
So, I'll let you have this one. Explain the bar fight between Brian Pillman and Sid Vicious, please.
Oh, tremendous. Well, Sid was going to WWF. And he was like on his way to go to WWF. And so, it was a situation where he's bragging about, you know, and he's drinking and he's going on.
I thought he was actually, yeah, I thought he was actually there or about, or was he?
He was
not?
Leaving. He was leaving.
Okay.
To go there.
I thought that was that they both showed up at the same night. He had just left, was already in WWF. He had already left just a couple months ago, and both companies ran at the same time in the same area and ended up going, kind of meeting up for the bar to, to hang out or whatever. That was my understanding, anyways.
Yeah, but anyway, he basically told Pillman that he'd never get there, and that he was too small, and he'd
constant bragging. Eventually, Pillman just said, "Shut up."
Yeah, Tony, what are you going to do about it, little man? And he goes, well, I'm going to kick the shit out of you right now. Come on, let's go, tough guy. I'll beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, and so he basically threatened him in the bar and then threatened to bring him outside. And Sid backed off like a coward.
Yes.
So then Sid comes back like...
Yeah, he goes outside. He leaves the bar.
Yeah, and everybody thinks it's over.
Yeah, and then he comes back with a squeegee.
Yes.
And starts, now he's a tough guy.
Now he's the tough guy with Pilbin. Remember, he had about 100 pounds and a foot of height on him.
At least.
And now he comes back with a squeegee. And he's whipping it back and forth and threatening him like a tough guy. And everybody just thought he was the biggest asshole. And again, this is why, well, he was such a big asshole. He was a huge asshole.
Yeah.
And who knows, he might still be.
But he'll probably go into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Memories of Brother Love.
I have great fond memories of Brother Love. I loved him. But, I mean, he was a guy that, just took over for Piper's Pit, essentially, about... I think in between WrestleMania 4 and 5.
Was there another... I mean, there was after Piper's Pit, there was the barbershop first, right? No? It was immediately to...
It was after. Barbershop came next. I mean, you had the Snake Pit. You had the Funeral Parlor, which came after the Brother Love Show as well. But a Brother Love Show, I think of all the... Like, yeah, you had Piper's Pit. But in, I think it probably was the second longest running show. Like interview segment, regular interview segment that they had. Basically it was Ted DiBiase. It was playing off of the Swaggart and then the Televangelists at the time. And
it was very at that point it was very like Pat Robertson. Yeah, it was very very high in the pop culture. It was very, what's the word that they use when they talk about how they're
at Q rating.
No, at the forefront of
pop culture.
Yeah. It was really I wouldn't say cutting edge, but it was definitely
It was current. It was current, it was hip, it was now.
Yeah.
but I mean, you had so the gimmick was Ted DiBiase was his benefactor. And so that positioned him as a heel, and then he always loved the heels and made fun of the baby faces. And, you know, you had some things like, Earthquake squashed Hogan on there and took Hogan out of action.
He was a good, smarmy character.
Yeah.
That always gave the heels, it was a place where the heels could get over on the baby faces. And, you know, at that era.
Yeah.
And he was, he played it well. He was, you know, Bruce Pritchard, obviously, who was behind the scenes and, did have some experience in front of the camera before getting to the WWF at the time. But, essentially he was an office guy.
Yeah, a higher-up office guy.
Yeah.
Who had been a higher-up office guy in TNA.
When I think of him, the highlight of him is obviously, I think, the Piper's Pit, actually, at the WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite moment with him. That was great. And you know...
Mr. Downey.
That's the Downey part. I mean, I'm talking about the love, even about the love part that was awesome. And I'd say
love you doesn't mean I have to like you.
Yeah. So I mean, that's where if you want to watch why he was enjoyable and get your best laugh out of him, I think go watch that one.
When you talk about memories of Brother Love, though, it's Earthquake squashing Hogan. It's Boss Man turning babyface by refusing to go get the $1 million belt out of Damien's bag.
Don't forget also, he's the guy who brought in the he didn't bring in the Undertaker.
DiBiase
did, but he was the Undertaker's original manager. Didn't last long.
No.
But he was the Undertaker's original manager. Found
Brother Bearer.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, so you had that set moment. You had... arrogance being sprayed in the eyes of Jake the Snake Roberts. Yeah. You had the original...
But this isn't actually him. This is memories of his show.
You had the original Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bad News Brown, slap the taste out of Jack Tunney's mouth.
That's right.
The authority figure on that show. You had fast forward to it had been gone a while and they had brought it back to Raw. And I want all you people to touch your television sets and see what a star is, man.
Yeah, the Ringmaster.
The Ringmaster is the Million Dollar Champion debuting in late 96 before the Raw Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't really have much momentum when they brought it back on that one, but...
Because, no,
it was done, and it wasn't as...
As good at all.
Well, it wasn't as good as all. It wasn't something that was relevant to current pop culture anymore.
Yes. You say so. You can't go home again, right? And that's just it. They needed to find a new thing, though. Yeah.
Those are memories of Brother Love.
Yeah.
Was Eva Marie fired?
No, I think she quit, didn't she?
I don't...
Oh, that Eva Marie. No, she's still around. No, she was at the Oscars.
She was at the Oscars, yeah. I think they might have been thinking Eve Torres, who just left to go home to get married.
Yeah.
To one of the Gracies, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Henner Gracie.
Henner Gracie, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and now she's some sort of teacher.
I should make a little noise there for the podcast. That's okay. Really enjoyable for the listeners at home. That's good.
Yeah.
Come in.
Oh. Hello there, children. Hi, Pat. It's Mel Phillips.
Does Joni Lauer have a podcast?
Who?
Joni Lauer. Lauer.
China?
This guy actually wrote it, Joni Lauer. So.
Oh, yeah.
Joni, yeah, China, basically. No. Does she have a podcast? Not that I know of.
China can't spell podcast.
Did you see? I sent it to you on Twitter, the video of her twerking?
No.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it.
Holy fuck. We're going to embed it in the show then.
Okay.
Because it's something you need to see.
Is it?
Well, no. It's not something anybody should see. And yet it's something you need to see. Okay. Joni Lauer twerking. Wow. Now, about a year later when it's really hip. She's twerking.
Yes. My brother-in-law. Cutting edge.
Cutting edge. It's something. Or just Google it yourselves. But we'll put it on the site here in this show.
Just
write
it yourselves and I don't have to watch it.
Oh no, I need you to see it. Actually, let's watch it. Actually, we'll embed it still, but let's watch it live on the air, and I can get your reaction to it live on the air as we...
All right.
No, look.
Keep going.
Okay, we'll do it after I've done all this.
Yeah.
Okay. Who won between Warrior and Sid?
Warrior.
Actually, I think, didn't Sid get some wins on him on house shows and stuff like that? That was the other thing I loved from the After magazines was reading house show results, because we didn't get those any other way.
That's true.
That I loved at the back.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Warrior was going over.
It's not the only thing you loved in the back.
Oh, I was also there with Randy Orton and Stephanie. Stephanie. You know. In the backseat of a Volvo. Oh.
That's the most uncomfortable place. Back of a Volkswagen.
Oh, sorry.
I can't remember. You said Stephanie McMahon, so you were thinking of Volvo. Oh, yeah.
But what was it? Who won? I actually thought Sid was getting over on him, but you're right, Warrior didn't do a lot of jobs. But I actually thought, when they had a couple house show matches or something, they were building to something. Maybe a Madison Square Garden match. I actually thought Sid was going over.
Could be.
Because they were really building him at the time to be the top heel to lead up to Hogan.
No, but no, because...
I do know that Undertaker, when he first debuted, was going over on Warrior at house shows.
No, but here's the thing. Undertaker, when he...
Yeah, he was. I remember that from the After mags. It blew me away.
Yeah. But I don't think Sid did. Doesn't matter.
I think Sid was... I do believe Sid was going over, though, on Undertaker. In house shows.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. So, but in the blog, we talked about the blog you did with Hogan and Sean, biggest asshole, and I believe, or douche. Biggest douche, yeah.
Same thing.
I think you had Hogan winning, right?
Yes.
In the Warrior versus Sid biggest douche, I had Sid winning. It was close.
Yeah.
But I had Sid winning because he had actually stabbed a man.
Yes, that's right. Arn Anderson.
Yeah. What's Dave Bautista like outside the ring?
Well, we just talked about douches.
Actually, I think he seems like a really cool guy outside the ring.
Yeah,
guy you can go smoke a blunt with.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty laid-back, low-key kind of guy.
Like, everybody seems to like him. Like, he's a nice guy and whatever. He might be You know, I mean, I think he might have been a little bit of an arrogant dick in his younger days, but I think seems like most people actually like him.
He's backstage. Older and he has money and he's just doing what he likes to do, so he's pretty laid back, yeah.
Yeah, like seriously, like from what I can tell, yeah, a lot of people like hanging out with him, and he seems like a guy that, yeah. Like, he has a subtle sense of humor, people mention.
Definitely looks like that way from my vantage point, yes.
Yeah. Well, like the Blue Tista thing. You know, he did that as a rib. He knew that was going to be hilarious. So, yeah.
Yeah.
that's one of my favorites. Is Sin Cara actually Rey Mysterio?
Yes.
Yes, can't you tell from the tattoo on the back? Same guy.
Yeah, tattoo on the back, tattoo on the shoulder. What I'd like for this, the person that wrote this question to do, is to get a Q-tip and stab yourself in the ear 15 times.
Somebody asked that. Memories of Rick Rude.
Oh, I have great memories of Rick Rude.
Love Rick Rude. One of my all-time favorites.
Trying to think of one of my memories of Rick Rude, one of my more fond memories of Rick Rude are actually from WCW.
Yeah, he was awesome there. I love his feud with Sting and with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, yeah. Two of the highlights there.
And yeah, Sting, Ricky Steamboat, you know, Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a
great talker.
Even with Dustin Rhodes, had a good feud with.
Remember that? And he was obviously him and Warrior had the great feuds, and that there was the ultimate pose down was awesome.
The super pose down.
Super pose down. Sorry, him and Arsenio Hall was great.
Yes.
Stories of him like behind the scenes, like story of him doing. A wrestling on the ground, like legit amateur wrestling. Nobody being able to take him over.
Yeah.
You know, from a mount position and things like, him, like Warrior, buying into his hype, getting too stiff with him, asking him politely 3 or 4 times, a little bit more sternly, you know, to not be like that. One night, just going in and beating the shit out of Warrior, and then Warrior, behave. Things like that.
Yeah.
Memories, too. Like, he was, like, a legit, really tough, really strong guy. Unlike Warrior, who was a strong guy, but a complete pussy.
And how do you mention Rick Rude without mentioning the Rick Rude simulcast?
No, that's huge.
Raw and Nitro in the same night, right? I mean, that's huge. And my one of my other
and
biggest...
He was so great with Heenan, too.
Oh, yeah. And even though he didn't want Heenan.
No, I
he
know.
Resented Heenan.
He didn't need him because he was a great talker.
I know, but,
he
resented
were great
him.
Together.
He resented having him, though. He just thought that it was he just didn't want him there.
Yeah.
But the other thing that the memory that I have of Rick Rude is actually a non memory is that like never got a run with Hogan.
Never got the run with Hogan. The timing was never right,
and that was the thing. He just never got that run with Hogan.
He wasn't quite the right size of what they were booking Hogan with at the time, which was just absolute monsters.
And the only reason that he got to run with Warrior for the belt is because he beat him for the Intercontinental title, and that you had that story already there.
He had that story, but also he had good chemistry with him. He could make Warrior look good.
Well, yes.
He was an underrated worker. I liked his ring work. I mean, that 30-minute Iron Man match that he had with Steamboat.
Steamboat, awesome.
Wicked match.
Yeah, the beach blast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, I mean, he was him and Hogan, I think a lot of people were worried that about his style and his look and his size, that somehow he would come across as the babyface against him to some of the hardcore fans. So they kind of avoided it that way, too, is my understanding. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that they worry about hardcore fans as much then as they do now.
Yeah,
but
still to some degree.
But yeah.
I understood that was part of it. But
that's Ricky Rude.
What Nexus wrestlers are still in WWE?
All of them. No, not Michael Tarver.
Not Michael Tarver.
And not Justin Gabriel anymore.
Not Justin Gabriel. He's Slater's still there.
Slater's there. I don't think Otunga really. I mean, he's in the company, but he's not. I guess
say he showed up at TV, and he might be at TV kind of in that Alex Riley role now that Riley's gone. Of course, then again, it looks like, what's his name?
Corey
Graves might end up with that role, too.
I think he's got it, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's.
Otunga's around. Daniel Bryan, of course, still around. Ryback.
Ryback.
Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
You got Heath Slater. Who else are we missing there? Michael Tarver's gone.
Yeah.
Justin Gabriel's gone. And was that it?
I feel like there's one more.
Oh, Darren Young. He's still around.
Darren Young, he's still around. Yeah, yeah, that's right. And then when you start... After that, I don't really consider it Nexus. Like, if you start talking about the next
Husky
group,
Harris, right?
Yeah, like Bray Wyatt and all these guys. Like, you know, they're...
It was just two to me. It was just Bray Wyatt and Curtis Axel. Right?
Yeah. So... Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that even after that, I think they kept it going for a while. And might have been some different members in there. But yeah, I mean, he was...
That's right. It was... what's his fuck? The big muscle motherfuck.
Yeah.
From England.
Who? What? Oh, Mason Ryan. Mason Ryan, which brings up to... I'll just jump ahead to this one. When is Mason Ryan debuting in TNA?
Probably imminently.
He was there for a tryout recently, so I can't imagine if he's available that they won't sign him. I hear he's improved since his work on the independents. And he had improved in TNA, but...
Well, he's just got a... Whitey's basically...
Or waiting. NXT towards the end, he had improved a lot. The thing is, if Magnus isn't a star, then... And do they still have Magnus there? I mean, I don't know. I don't watch TNA. Life's too short. But yeah, I mean, if Magnus couldn't do anything, I don't see anything about Mason Ryan that... could make him do anything. I always thought Mason Ryan, if you could have put him with Batista, you could have played off their similar looks. Other than that, I saw nothing for him.
Otherwise, yeah, I mean, I understand he's probably going into TNA, but he's just awaiting the results of the medical.
Mm.
He's going to pass the wellness test in TNA before he can get in.
And when he fails, they'll say to him,
"You're hired.
Yeah,
we're going to give you a raise, actually,
because
you're on the most drugs of anybody in our company.
Yeah.
Except Jeff Hardy."
Here's a good one. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
Legit question again.
Too legit to quit?
Does Rock actually have a cousin who is a wrestler?
Yes. No. No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Who?
He's actually the cousin of, isn't he?
I don't think so. Well, maybe, who knows?
Who knows?
Who really fucking knows?
I'm sure he does a cousin who's a wrestler. I'm sure he does.
All the Samoan wrestlers are essentially from Virginia.
Essentially.
So, yeah, I'm sure he does.
What you mean is not that they're actually from Virginia. You mean that they just...
They're inbred.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they come with they think it's not a tattoo on their arm. Hmm. That's like a birth defect.
Well, could be. Could be. Did Cena versus Taker ever actually happen? There was a SmackDown match.
Yeah,
I think there was. A long time ago.
Yeah.
There was at least at one point in time a post-Raw match that they did probably 4 or 5 years ago that somebody taped on their mobile phone, put up on YouTube. I don't know if it's still available.
It was close.
It was like somewhere around the Royal Rumble time. A lot of people speculated at the time it would be how would the crowd take to it if we put them together at Mania. And obviously it never went in that direction. But as a main match, no. I think would have been a very...
What is it, this spam email I just got?
Okay.
The top one.
Xanax. Only $199.
That's right. You too can murder your child for $199.
Yeah. Great. But yeah, I mean... never a main match. Maybe that match is on SmackDown. That SmackDown match is available.
I think
it would have been a very young... This would have been a heel. This would have been the Vanilla Ice John Cena character.
What? Undertaker? No, I think it was... I'm going to wear your home colors. I'm going to wear the home colors. I have ruthless aggression, John Cena.
So even like earlier.
Like early, yeah.
Could be, yeah. Could be. Has Dixie Carter ever actually had a match? So how about it, Addy? Has Dixie Carter ever wrestled in a contest?
In a contest? No.
So you got for that one, didn't I?
Dixie Carter has never been an actual wrestler.
Or an actual promoter.
Well, you gotta give... I mean, Dixie Carter is a stupid fuck. So she is that.
So she is a promoter.
So she is.
And the 21st century, she is a wrestling promoter then.
She's a writer. She's a writer.
She's in charge of creative. No, she's never actually had a match. Really, by the time that she was in a storylines where she could have, she was too old to actually have a real match. Yeah. And not really athletic enough. I mean, so she just took that big bump, table bump from Bully Ray.
I mean, look at her though, right?
Yeah.
She's so old.
Well, too old to a match. I mean, she is old, but I still fuck her.
You would. What body part would you fuck her in?
Didn't we have the competition even not that long ago, like a year ago, between who's hotter between her and Steph?
The competition?
What's Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels' relationship?
I think they're boyfriend girlfriend.
Of course, Shawn Michaels gets a lot of credit for training Daniel Bryan. He did go to his school. Shawn did run some shows and said he saw potential of him as far as his passion for the industry. He didn't know he would get as far as he's gotten.
Right.
But did put him over quite a bit when he would do commentary for the shows and stuff. But a lot of that era, Shawn really doesn't remember still. He was still pretty messed up.
Yeah. And he had really nothing to do with that school other than owning it.
Yeah, exactly. His name was more on it. It was, what's his name, who was actually did the training? I can't remember.
Rudy Boy Gonzalez.
So, Shawn Michaels at one point actually walked up to Daniel Bryan when he first got in the WWE, yes, and said, asked him legitimately, "Did I train you?"
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's kind of their relationship. But he respects him now and kind of remembers a little bit. Another one here, you're going to like this. Rick Martel memories. This is our last question.
Ah, Ricky Martel. On a high note.
Yeah. There's a guy who should go in the hall.
Yeah, he's dead. Rick Martel is definitely, I mean, I was watching, actually, I watched the...
He's like 15 years old when he won his first title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the Legends of Wrestling, the Canada one.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, I think I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned on air, if I just mentioned it to you. But Pat Patterson kept bringing up the name Rick Martel.
Yeah.
Like, he was just trying to get a Rick Martel conversation going.
Yeah.
But no one was biting.
No, that's too bad. He was a really strong worker. He was a good-looking guy, you know.
Oh, was he?
A smiley, good, charismatic guy. Yeah, I'm comfortable enough with myself to say that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. good-looking guy, very charismatic, you know, good baby face who turned into being a better heel than I ever imagined he would be. Mm-hmm. Like, he was such a good, like, Strikeforce was a really terrific team. I can't end connection before that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already, of course, been, you know, AWA World Champion and stuff, where he didn't really take off, but yeah, it was a dying company, and the way he got the title and what was booked wasn't really very good.
What about his look, though?
He was a good-looking guy. Arrogant, even. The reason why he was called a model. But when he became that model character, it's one of the more memorable characters, I think, kind of in that era. He did a great job with it. The arrogance thing was awesome.
Yes.
You know, even when he ended up over in... And I think he was working babyface again when he ended up in WCW.
That's what I was going to mention. He was
really good there, too. Like, he had great matches.
Well, he was... What had happened is he... he had the... He was with the Can-Am. I mean, he was tag team championship partner of Tony Garea in the early 80s.
Yeah, in the early 80s,
and
yeah,
then came back. And,
of course, who wasn't with Tony Garea?
That's true.
Like 50,000-time tag team champion.
They beat the Moondogs.
Yeah,
but
50,000 times.
But he came back, and yeah, it was the Can-Am connection, and then Tom Zink and Model had their differences, so they became Strikeforce, feuding with the Islanders, and then later becoming the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. And then a year later, after the injury, he did the gimmick where he turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became the Model, Rick Martel, had Slick as his manager, mm-hmm, for a short period of time, didn't last. He turned in 89. I don't think he... started 1990 with Slick as his manager. I think he was just on his own.
I think so.
Not sure why even.
What year was it that he was the Iron Man in the Royal Rumble? That was a very memorable Royal Rumble
appearance. I want to say it was 91 with 52 minutes.
Yeah, and I think like the following year or something like that, he also went a really long time.
Then it was 90 that he went 52 minutes and he went 45 in 91.
Yeah.
Because 92
was
the Flair.
Was the Flair.
But I mean, but he's still around. He was the Model. He was just feuded with Chico, and then
I thought that Model thing was gonna flop, but he did a great job with it.
Yeah, the arrogance thing was gonna flop. Had a great feud with Jake Roberts. Yeah, I mentioned it from the Brother Love show where he sprayed the arrogance in his eyes and they had the the blindfold match itself is a horrible match. It's blindfold matches
will the concept be, is a horrible
but,
concept.
Exactly. But that was a big feud that he had. Then
Jake was great in his promos for that too.
He stole Tatanka's feather.
That's right.
So he had the feud with the Indian.
Yeah.
And then he seemed to be a little bit of obscurity and it seemed like he'd almost like he'd left.
Yeah.
But he hadn't heard anything from him. And from WrestleMania 8, I believe, is when he fought Taro Atalanka there. And then he was kind of gone for a while. But then he came back for that Raw Battle Royal to crown the Intercontinental Champion where the last two men were going to be the... And it was him and Razor.
And you know what? He was... when Bret Hart was IC Champion, he was always in that IC... kind of that mix. Mm-hmm. Right up until the end, really. And, you know, he was one of Bret Hart's best house show opponents for IC title matches.
That's right.
And there was actually a SummerSlam where Bret took on, because he was actually feuding with Bret at the time. And he ended up switching opponents with Bret, basically. And, of course, Bret ended up with a Bulldog, right?
Yeah, and so
he ended up taking him and Shawn. It was a pure heel match where they had agreed not to punch each other in the face because they're both so arrogant about their looks. And to me, when I think of my two favorite heel versus heel matches like that, where it's like they're just both trying to be a heel and out-heel each other, is that one and Hunter versus Austin on Raw that happened. I think I might have even been in Edmonton. Was that in Edmonton?
Yeah, on the SmackDown.
Was it a SmackDown?
Yeah.
But they're both heels, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying to out-heel each other, and it was hilarious. And so anyways, that was that's a highlight match for me. But yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and then I said he goes to WCW after, you know, well, he was in the Independents. He was in a tag team with Don Callis, a Jackal. they were the supermodels.
That's right.
And they just did Independents, mostly, East Coast Canada and Winnipeg and stuff like that, but Northeast. But then they were supposed to come in as the supermodels to WCW, and then Don Callis got the job with WWF. And Rick Martel was left in the cold, and Tom Zink thought that was irony. And then he went to WCW as a single and was in the television title mix as a babyface in this three-way feud with Booker T and Saturn.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Like, he was fantastic.
Yeah, his work was really great.
In, like, 1998, he was awesome.
Yeah.
And getting a reaction and just fantastic. And then he got hurt, and I didn't hear from him ever again.
Yeah.
You know? But,
those are Rick Martel memories. Now, let's go watch China twerking.
You can't make me.
Seriously. You gotta see this.
See, you know what you have to do? You have to, like...
Are you gonna look for it, or are you
just... Right here.
Okay.
But you have to say what it is.
Twerking. China. Twerking.
I know, but you just tweeted this to me. And you just tweeted me a link.
Yeah.
You didn't describe it, so I'm not going to click on a link from you.
It's for me. It's not some fucking... It's not spam from some... Okay. I'm going to watch this. She just kissed at the camera.
Yeah.
Her hair's really long.
I think she fell down.
No. She just closed the window.
What the fuck?
How do you like that belly fat hanging out?
Like... Did someone hit her in the head with an iron?
So she's no longer on drugs or alcohol.
Good to see.
Yeah. Enjoy that.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean, if it's for me, you can hit the link because the whole point of me not telling you what it is the surprise when you open it up and go, "Oh fuck," which you would have done.
That's what I'm worried about next time.
I'm not going to tweet you porn or anything like that. It's going to be something safe for work. I'm not going to do.
Well, no,
but you can.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyways, we're going to embed that in the show here.
Oh.
That's awesome.
It's actually a lot of work.
No, it's not. It's really easy.
But you said you had a game.
I have a game. You have a game.
Yeah, let's do your game. We'll do my game next time.
What about the question I wanted to ask?
What question did you want to ask?
I wanted to ask you a Daniel Bryan question. You know what it is. Are we going to wait for next week?
Yeah, let's wait for next week.
But what if we forget it? Write it down, because I seriously don't want to forget that one. So that's a good one.
Well, let's also look. The Rock is Black Adam.
What? I think you did that on...
Yeah, I did. I wrote it down, though, so I'm just mentioning it again. I'm White Adam.
Fuck. So anyways, I don't know if you guys are remember like those like games like Remember the Lyric or whatever.
I do.
These things where, you know, it's like a game show where somebody will... you know, they'll touch play themselves. Music, they'll play the song, so maybe singing, and then they'll turn off the music, and the contestant has to say the next line.
Or in Dixie Carter's case, the contestant.
has to say the next line. So I thought I would try and do that with promos, especially with promos I think Addy should know.
Okay.
But he may not. So basically, I'm going to go onto YouTube here. I'm going to play this promo. Uh-huh. We'll play it out loud.
Okay.
Then I'm going to pause it. You say the next line or the next few lines or whatever. Okay. However many you remember.
Okay.
And then we'll press play again and see if you got it correct. That's how this is going to work now. Of course, I'll be playing this on my tablet. And hopefully, it'll be loud enough for everybody to hear.
Hopefully.
And so that's it.
If it's not, I got them all right.
So I'm going to say, okay... which one do you want to do first? Roddy Piper?
You just pick.
No, you pick. Okay, I'll just do it. I'll just pick. Okay. I said, no, I don't
want to. You know, I don't want to do a lot of work, right?
Lazy fucker.
Let's go with Roddy Piper. Did you pick Roddy Piper?
No.
Good.
See if this works. Theoretically, it will. Oh, that's... That's one of the wonderful ads on YouTube.
Oh, I don't know that one.
No?
No.
Surprising. Okay. I'll just forward it to where it's going to be. And we will play it here.
This is riveting.
Well, yeah, if you, I like, you're playing it, WWE Supercard on your phone.
Supercard.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This is Rick, or this is Randy Savage.
Okay.
It's not that one.
You got lust in your
eyes. The one where he's showing the video clips of the highlight of the feud.
Yeah, it's your eyes lust Elizabeth. That was the that's.
You don't
the,
remember it?
Well, I remember the promo, but I remember the eyes lust Elizabeth. Well,
this
part.
Is
it was
the
like
last
a 10-minute piece.
No, this is the it's this 3 minutes and it's a different one. This
let's see, let's see what he looks like. He's wearing orange, yeah, on his thing, yeah.
This is the last the last 10 seconds, 12 seconds.
Okay,
you remember the last thing he said? I'm going to tell you something. You say you love me like a brother. I'm going to tell you something.
Suck my dick, you motherfucker.
That's it. Let's see if this is correct. Stuff. This game may not work out. I was thinking of doing this again if this worked, but we'll see. Okay, let's try another one here. So this is Roddy Piper.
Okay, let's do Owen Hart.
We're going to do the Roddy Piper.
Okay? One of the most successful shows ever possibly in the history of shows. And, of course, I'm creeping up on the back of Mr. T. I can tell you that because it's got it written right here on the back of your chair.
Oh, yeah, I know, I'm just trying to think of what it says. Is that the one where he says, mister, are you ripping me?
Well, this is it from the very beginning. That was the beginning of the promo.
Okay.
I'll play it for you one more time.
No, don't worry about it. Just play the next line. Because I know I can picture where he's standing, but I don't know what the next line is.
One of the most successful shows ever possibly in the history of shows. And, of course, I'm creeping up on the back of Mr. T. I can tell you that because it's got it written right here on the back of your chair. Mr. T, hello. I know you can hear me, and I don't mean to bother you. My name's Hot Rod. Of course, you know who I am. And I know who you are because your name's written on the back of the chair, and I'm...
Do you know it now?
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, I know you can hear me, and I don't mean to bother you. My name's Hot Rod. Of course, you know who I am. And I know who you are, because your name's written on the back of the chair, and I'm assuming that that's there so you don't get lost. They told me to come down.
I thought you would know that.
No.
I'm assuming that's there so you don't get lost.
So you don't get lost. That's good. That's the one where he's hyping for WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, exactly.
See, Lopper, she's a personal friend of mine.
No, that will, yeah, well, it's on stage, right? Or it's on set.
Yeah, she's a friend of mine.
All right. Let's try this Owen Hart one then. Okay.
I have two slammies, that's the line.
The what?
No. We'll see. I mean, you have watched Owen Hart promos again and again and again. So, we'll see.
To have gifts in the King's Court that are true gentlemen and great athletes.
The King's Court one?
Can't bully me anymore.
And I got meaner, and I started beating you, Brett, and used to try to scramble and run and hide and try to get to Dad. Well, it's the same thing at SummerSlam with you and me, Brett, in a steel cage, but there's one little difference. When we were at home, there...
All right. Well, again, I'm really just... You haven't gotten a single goddamn one of these right yet. Like, it's not...
Well, there aren't any iconic lines in any of these. These are just promos.
Yeah, but they're ones I figured you would have watched over and over. And I think that I personally consider that one pretty, the Mr. T one pretty iconic. I suppose you wrote that there, so you will get lost. I think that's pretty iconic. And yeah, Randy Savage promo on Hulk Hogan, of course that's iconic.
But it's about lust in your eyes.
How many times have you watched that promo?
Which, the Randy Savage, that one? A few. I watched it in a long time, but I've seen it probably a good, maybe 100 times.
So it doesn't seem so ridiculous. All right, let's try this one. This is a Bret Hart promo. I know you're going to get this wrong, though I will give you bonus points if you can just recognize.
Okay, the line is, I'm the best there is. The best there was, and the best there ever will be.
No, that's not it. Advertiser. Oh, I hate those guys. What about our show sponsor? Remember we had one of those?
Yeah. Dick Togo. This show is sponsored by Dick Togo.
Dick Togo. That's a great name for a guy. Okay, so I'm going to play this one. I will give you bonus points if you can just tell me what promo it is.
Razor Ramon?
No. Oh. It is, I say, a Bret Hart promo.
Oh, Bret Hart.
But we'll see if you can remember the next line. To me, it's one of the classic moments, so.
Just against Isaac Yanko?
No.
I want to ask you a question.
Oh, that was it. I screwed it up. Okay, see if you can get it right.
Well, he's title match, because he's a loser. He's not going to get a title shot. You can forget about that.
Well, he is not a loser. You know
he's
that.
He's a loser. Now, Booker T, I want to ask you a question. Have you got the guts to step in the ring with the Excellence of Execution tonight? Do you know that your life is on the line? Your career is on the line? All the little kids at home, they're going to watch me tear you up and break you little pieces. Is that what you want? A
not sure that's what Ric Flair wants.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Booker T. This man has held numerous titles in World Championship Wrestling, and there's a guy that we would be deserving of a chance at your United States title.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States
Heavyweight. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion.
Can you do it?
You know, a guy I've been watching, and I've seen it, and I think El Dandy, he's just, who are you to doubt El Dandy?
Let's see.
I ought to know. You know, I'm a sizing up guy since I came to WCW, and I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a...
All right. I'll give you points for... I mean, you didn't quite nail it, Zach, but you got enough there. I'll give you points for that one.
Yeah, so I got the Macho Man one. I got this one.
All right, one last one.
Oh, there's another one.
Last one, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, right.
Shawn Michaels.
The line is, Stumpy.
There we go, Shawn Michaels. And, and, of course, you have to say it as Shawn Michaels. Not that you do an impression of him.
Hmm.
Nothing?
Suck okay. It.
The Heartbreak Kid waits on absolutely nobody.
You got it then. You got it then. Like 2 seconds later, you got it. I figured you actually you'd have that one.
Kid waits for absolutely nobody.
Exactly. All right. So that's the game. So should we do it again? Or
no.
Is it?
Well, you know what you have to do.
But then it's too easy.
Good.
I don't want to make it too easy, so it's like ones you can easily get. You know? I'm not going to sit there like I'm a good kisser from Mick Foley, because of course you'll get that.
But, what about,
it's February of 98. I know you've seen that show 47,000 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's 98, though.
Yeah, but you've still seen it a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you. It's you.
But it's
you.
That was a relatively gray area though. That 98.
That's leading up to Mania between Austin and whatever. All right. Any last things you want to say other than watch ROH the 13th anniversary this weekend?
Mo is fat.
That hurts.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a blood clot. Let's look. Oh. You know who's at Lucha Underground?
Who?
If I Jack can Evans. Be Mexican with Chew.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, not well.
We'll see if that is actually anything or nothing at all.
Yeah, that's not gonna play well.
Well, if it's nothing at all, it'll be fine.
Do you think that that Cody and Dustin are going to get a Mania match?
No.
No?
I think it's going to play out on television with feuds over the next 2-3 weeks, and then they'll be in the Battle Royal.
You think? Yeah, they'll be in the Battle Royal. Yeah. Just one of those things that I was like, eh. But I think that's it. I think we're just going to wait. See, the thing is if John Cena wins the United States Heavyweight Wrestling Championship and Daniel Bryan wins the Intercontinental Championship, I don't think that the singles titles will have ever been in a better position.
No, it's true. And the irony is that those two belts will have far and away more popular, bigger stars as champion than the main belt, which will be held by Roman Reigns.
But they're even talking about like the European tour post Mania.
Yeah,
like one of the they're gonna have two crews going out, and one of the crews is gonna be Cena Rusev U.S. title.
Yeah,
right. So I mean, it's I don't know if this is maybe Hunter's slowly seeping some influence, because you know it sure as hell ain't Vince. See, you know what, pal? We gotta make the title mean something again, pal.
It's possible that Hunter. It's possible that Hunter. This is his influence, but keep in mind, Hunter buried the shit out of that belt. It's unbelievable to me that Hunter would sit there like and go, "Well, now I need it, or now I get it." But when it was him, talk about selfish and talk about politicking.
Yeah,
this guy, like, he was going to get the belt, the IC belt. It was going to be the main belt on Raw. And he went, I'm above that belt. That belt's below me. And that's when they brought back the big gold belt.
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know, the idea that he's like, this is his influence. Well, remember what his influence has been in the past. Like, that's the thing about Hunter. As much as we're looking at NXT and thinking, oh, that's the right guy, I see a track record going back many, many years of selfishness and not getting it that I still trust. Yeah, but
there's two different scenarios there. It's a little bit different in that he's out of the mix, right? It's like the old thing is like, you know, like what's the booker going to do? Book himself, right? And he's the focal point of the show, right?
And they still are. The Authority, remember,
are
the stars, and Seth Rollins is the loser.
He's a jobber.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I still think that I could see it. I could see Hunter taking that and going, you know, well, I don't have to fight for it, so, yeah, let's make it important.
Maybe.
I can see that.
I actually have to see it, though.
Oh, yeah.
All I'm saying with Hunter is I have to see for a few years in a row, especially since the product is horrid right now. And if he has influence, then he has influence on a horrid product.
Yeah.
I need to see it for a long time.
I'm just seeing Mania, and you know, and I'm seeing, that possibility. That's all. So.
I know. The possibility's there, but I don't trust him, and I don't trust them right now.
That's true.
All right, we're all OUT.
So with that trustworthiness out of the way, we're going to hit up another week here on the We Talk Wrestling Radio Network here. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter.
And bloggers. Got that Undertaker blog. I forgot to mention it.
You got to mention it? You forgot to mention it?
Yeah, it's, you know, a look at his full career in blogs.
Yeah.
The man coming next is kind of his gimmicks and his time in the WWE, then the streak. Freaks TV Channel X. Who did the? Of course, he did a blog with us previously on the kind of redesigning Raw a couple years ago,
rebranding Raw.
Yeah, he's done the wallpapers that are going out to the top, and you can check him out in the link there. Or check him out on Twitter, Freaks TV Channel X, at DeviantArt, and wants to be a graphic artist, comic book artist, and this type of things. He's awesome. I couldn't do this without him, so it's a huge shout out to him.
I understand he likes doing wallpaper because afterwards he gets to sniff the glue.
Well, he's British.
Mm. There you go. At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling, WeTalkWrestling.com. We are on Stitcher, we are on iTunes, and we are on the TuneIn radio app. RDO?
No.
No. Show Me?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on Show Me.
Netflix.
The WWE Network.
Yeah. Podcast One.
Yeah. But that's Addy, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com is the email. There.
All right.
So that's going to do it for yet another motherfucking week. as we are on the road to WrestleMania, they better clear the fucking road and clear the lanes, de-ice the motherfuck, because I am not looking forward to this. So, goddamn it, Fuck you, WWE.
Yeah, you know what? This This is the only Mania that you've ever done that's really mattered.
Yes.
And you're not doing a good job.
I'm taking
this is the one we're going to.
I am taking this booking personally. Yes. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, are we up? We off the air?
Nope.
Oh, shit.